Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Yeah, man, we back live and direct, man. This is the second part of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. And the first part of the show was already up. Me and T-Max was dialoguing about the baby. We was paying homage to Coolio. We was talking about the Soulja Boy versus DJ Vlad and other bloggers. So we're going to have that content uploaded along with the interview that we're going to complete shortly. But in the meantime, I'm rocking with y'all despite the fact that this hurricane is out here and it's messing with the weather, messing with the algorithm, whatever you want to call it. We still live and direct, giving y'all the dope interviews, the dope music, the dope content, you name it. This is not easy what we do, so we need everybody aboard to support what we do. We 520 episodes deep, and we're trying to do this even more. So until we wait for our guests, until I wait for T-Max, until I wait for our guests to come on to join us for the interview, I want to play some dope music. I want to play this joint for my man, Aguilar the Don Bishop, titled Sip the Broth. We got a lot of dope hip-hop lined up, man. So follow it up with the new Prodigy joint. So by the time then, hopefully our guests will be on. Hopefully T-Max will be on. So let's go.
Yo, 1-2. Peace to Aguilar. What up? Check.
This is a campaign production.
Yo, my patient is international paper chasing. Believe me, I had to take it all in moderation. Knew my time was coming, so I had to wait patient. They took me to the safe because I had the combination. My vernacular is greater, I'm a dominator. Cush up in the Garcia Vega, listening to Amadeus. Straight cash, hitting Vegas, holding Himalayas. Feel what I'm saying, these cats imagine every plan. I'm an 80s baby, favorite car is Mercedes. Bad bitches and good pussy, drive my dick crazy. Been cool with the ladies, you can never play me. All the fame and money in the world, that'll never change me. Gold Beak on a parrot, 24 carat. Eating Caesar salad, with the keys of Dallas. Top tier the streets, I'm already established. Rest in peace to Sean B, niggas need to watch
that money holler, I gotta get it off. Talk about dollars, they gotta pay the cost. Feeling some type of way, haters can get lost. Let them corny niggas take a sip of the broth. When it comes to that money holler, I gotta get it off. Talk about dollars, they gotta pay the sauce. Feeling some type of way, haters can get lost.
Fucking like hot sun, come to that world now. I bar down any MC, anybody, anytime, any place. I got 10 G's on it. I wish a nigga tried a dead me. Bullets are split as fucking waves like the Red Sea. I'm like Moses holding guns and roses. When I wrote this, I was suffering from cocaine psychosis. Paranoid, looking through the blinds, fully loaded, waiting for a motherfucker to flip so I can go it. I did. We the type to be on the news, yup. And you the type of nigga that be reading reviews.
Fuck out.
My girls be in the news, get easy abused. I'm in the crib with wild style ladies feeding the blues.
Take that.
Told her put on your skirt, go to church.
Yup.
Out here niggas getting murked for a perk.
Oh yeah.
I told your girl work, baby work. Gun prime bull nigga, I was birthed in
when
the curse.
When it comes to that money, I gotta get it off. Talk about dollars, they gotta pay the cost. Feeling some type of way, haters can get lost. Let them corny niggas take a sip of the broth. When it comes to that money, holler, I gotta get it off. Talk about dollars, they gotta pay the sauce. Feeling some type of way, haters can get lost.
Put your hands tied to the damn sky. I'm anti-you. That's nothing new. Now cut the damn pie. Be happy you're eating. You think shit sweet till I smack them at the meet and greeting. Yeah, we parallel park the big boy whip popping out. Tough guys, watch your mouth. Yeah, it's zero tolerance. My sound hits continents. I'm on the bet against the house, winning, beginning to see the hate while they grinning, pinning some of the meanest shit ever been written, sitting atop of the crop. Do the hip-hop, they know me, but do they really? No, we not our homies. They trying to sabotage me and my fam Aguilar. I stack a wide and back a squad. I'm spitting your food, I'm rude. Whatever the mood, whoever the dude, you should make peace with God.
Care of this real quick. Yeah.
Tight with my Lucas hoes like to run gang.
What up, Shadow in the bag?
Take a walk.
Yeah. Been in the house for 3 days, high on drugs, me and my bitch. All we do is fight and we fuck. I've been neglecting my first love, a lot of cash. She been cheating on me out there with all these other cats. And the first rule of business, secure the bag. Another one, and another one. You can ask Khaled how the young OG spin. My burn like the power line, I make that currency flow. This 357,000 votes. A shock the life out you. I get back to this money, forget all about you. The only thing popping over here is gunpowder. Other than that, I'm laid back and mind my life. I got a tight network of great people. We get things done. Rain, sleet, hail, or snow. I'm out, outside where it's icy cold. But the money keep a nigga on fire though. Hey, it's four seasons. There's no day off. 365, I'm stuck to the grind. I can't shake all this good fortune. Addiction and sex, drugs, money in the spotlight. Get some. It's a war going on, nigga, come outside. You and that bitch too long, nigga, come outside. That's how you turn soft, use a fucking tick. Stop breastfeeding, you missing all the action. We just booked the mark for 70,000. TVs and MacBooks falling off trucks. The little homies pulled up, they trunk full of guns. Try to sell me an arson, I just need a little one. Hit the club with the homies, we just shooting the shit. Chicks try to dance on me, but I curb all of them. I got a thing for a queen, but you're not a queen. I got a lioness in my bed, she waiting on me. Bumped into the RZA, we exchange math, that's what I'm talking about. I ain't seen him in years, that's why I need to be out. Ayy, now and again, but not too much. I gotta keep my mystique mysterious. Serious, four seasons. There's no day off. 365, I'm stuck to the grind. I can't shake all this good fortune. Addiction and sex, drugs, money in the spotlight. Get some, get some.
Tight with my Lucas hoes like to run game.
Take a walk.
No doubt,
indeed. Tight with my Lucas hoes like to run game.
Take a walk.
Thank you.
best. Love me at my worst, gold wrap around neck and wrist. Blowing cookie for the stress, keep a pole for your bitch. Off your on switch, Ralph B jeans, Teflon stitch. Heavy machinery, feel it in the kicks. Hard hit like these rhymes I spit in the spaceship. Seat reclining, you see the silver lining. Light reflecting off diamonds. Manifest by designer, soul assassin. Live wire, a devil's advocate. Kaiser so safe, the street codes are obey. It's Robert season, hoodie up, keep the fully tough. Give it up fast, quick and not slow. Watch for Fajando, play the block low. Looking for a karma bulls on the hunt. Watch your back, best to watch your front. Your own niggas will set you up, wet you up. Get hit from the neck up, right in front of the bodega. Neighbors turn traitors. Blowing smoke out the sunroof, moving like Sun Tzu. Smoke great coupe on coupe, burning the proof. Fiends high off chemicals, burning medical. The professional, 5,000, the animal. Hooded up, it's the vandal. Light them up like Roman candles. Bodies drop on the random. Summer in New York, summer in the city. Moving with the realest, surrounded by dealers. Gangsters and killers. Jack the Ripper, Mike Jack Driller. Hear shots when the train pass, nigga. Go wrapped around these glass frames, nigga. Freeze frame my bigger picture, my vision clearer. Finesse my literature, stick to the scripture. Madman is sinister, bring earth, wind and fire. When I enter the perimeter, think big like Christopher. Pistol or the heckler, you're dealing with the pressure. It's robber season, hoodied up, keep the fully tough. Give it up fast, quick and not slow. Watch for Fajando, play the block low. Looking for a karma wolves on the hunt. Watch your back, best watch your front. Your own niggas will set you up, wet you up. Get hit from the neck up, right in front of the bodega. Neighbors turn traitors.
Yeah. That was my man, Comet, Madman Screwball, and Recognize Real. The joint talk called Robin Season. You can check that out on Comet's Linktree. Be sure to cop that Authentic Cloth album, too, as well. And catch him tomorrow night hosting Screwball Radio with me, Black Poet, and we're going to be tuning in from that. So with that being said, we got our guest of the night on the line. I've known this lady for a couple years. She's solid as they come. When it comes to repping that real shit, she's been putting in a lot of work behind the scenes in the music and entertainment world. She's been on reality shows. She's been on her grizzly, damn it. And she's a fellow Raiderette, most importantly. So without further ado, to tell her story, to talk about what she got going on, was all welcome to lovely Dawn Dutchess, the Off the Cuff Radio. What's good?
What's good? What's going on? How you doing tonight? Thank you for having me on here.
What is going on? It's been a long overdue. How's everything been going with you?
Everything is running as smooth as it can be. It could be worse, but being that we've all been through a transition, everybody's trying to, you know, start back over and get back on top.
Absolutely. It's just like you said, a transition that we're trying to mentally get ourselves back. Because the past couple of years has been nuts. You know what I mean?
And it's been crazy. It's just been a lot of setbacks, a lot of things that everyone wasn't able to do. So it's now trying to find where you gonna fit in now, you know, trying to get everything back on the map.
Absolutely. And going on to... For those who already follow you and know about you, we're going on to the third quarter. We're in the fall season. Tell us about this, what you got going on for the third and fourth quarter.
Well, I ended up doing a series with Hooker Boy Films, and that is a series that will be coming out. It's called The Price. You'll be able to catch that on... I think it's some of the, like, Amazon, then the other one, it starts with a K. I forget the name of it. What's that one? What is that? The Kilo or Kimo or Kumo or whatever. It's one of
you
got to
go on my Googles. Matter of fact, I think T-Max, I think you can help us with this. What's that streaming platform that begins with a K?
I'm trying to think. I'm not too familiar with that one. There's a lot I know, but that particular one. Hold on. Let me put you on the spot,
but we got to figure this out.
Okay, hold on.
We got to figure that out. Because it's going to stream on there and on Amazon. I forgot the name of it. I have it because I haven't been updated on that. And then there's another one that's coming out that I'm going to be doing in 2024. The script and everything is being made right now, and that's going to be Married to the Game.
It's Katora.
Nope, that ain't it. It's one that is like Amazon. It's like, no.
Oh, we're going to find that.
Kafka? Is it Kafka?
Nope, it's not that either.
We going to find that, though, because that may be a diamond in the rough that us independent creators can flock to.
For real. It's definitely going to come out. And I forget what stream it's going to be on, but I know it was going to I know that it was going to hit on Amazon, and there was another one that it was supposed to be on, and I forget what it is. I forget which series it's gonna land on what app. I forget. That's horrible.
But
that's bad business right there.
It's all good. We're gonna be on the lookout for it anyway, because that might be a platform from us, as long as they cut the check. So.
Yeah,
we gonna see what that's all about.
It was all filmed in the town, so a lot of that is a Bay Area, you know, shit. So it was good, it was fun, but it was with Hooker Boy, you know who that is. Hooker Boy film.
Man, a little shout out to the
that's
town,
crazy,
man.
That,
in terms of the Bay.
Yeah, real shit. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
even
man.
Though I'm not from the Bay, I go there and I fuck with them because they show a lot more love there than I do anywhere else. And that's real shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
Yeah, talk to us about the Bay. Like, you know, how the Bay then gave you so much welcoming arms, you know what I'm saying? Because they're very welcoming, believe it or not.
They really are, and they don't pass judgment on you. It's none of that. If you treat them right, they treat you right out of all respect. You know, they not going to throw your name in the mud or anything in that nature. Everything is welcoming out there. You know, I know things get ugly out there, but it just depends on who you surround yourself with, you know. And there's a lot of positive people out there trying to do big things, and it's just people just got to reach out and not be scared to do it. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we got to shout out everybody in the Bay who we know, of course, CMG, you know, from Conscious Daughter, Spice One, you know, Richie Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to shout out, you know, Filthy Rich. I mean, you know, when we look at the Bay Area is a world within itself in terms of the culture and the music. You know, shout out Sugar T. You know, we interviewed her last year. You know, it's just a vibe, man. I mean, when you're talking about the hills, the flats, you know, you're talking about the 510, the 707, the 831, the 415, you know, of course, you know, Fleetwood's from there, of course. I mean, you got Dre Dogg, a.k.a. Andre Nicotina. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, it's
a lot of games got soaked up from there, man.
Yeah,
you know,
we interviewed him this year. Yeah,
they might want to go ahead and
Mm-hmm.
They might claim Tupac too. I think they're gonna claim Tupac.
Schroeder. We can't forget her either. We can't forget Aris.
Yeah, that too. And you know, you got Keith the Sneak. You know, that shout out to him. You know, that's my guy. He's hella cool, and I'm not gonna leave out Drew. You know, Drew Down. You know, because he's a town legend as well. I mean, you got Too Short. You got all your town legends out there. Definitely.
It was dope about the Bay Area, too. Hey, you know what, guys? For what I observed from the Bay Area, us being out of town, is they really was in the forefront and teaching us the game, how to make that money independently. They were, like, very influential. Cause they were really, we was like looking for a sign to get signed to a record deal. They was out there creating record deals.
Yeah, yeah. They really out there. And when they come up with something, they can start in the trunk of their car, and then they blow up. And you like, you would have never thought it would have happened. You're like, what? That they did that? Like, it's a game changer. Everything they do is a game changer. You're like, what the fuck? You know, you learn as you, when you out there, you learn how to hustle. You learn how to conduct yourself. You learn the game. Like, that's street knowledge being out there. Definitely. It really is. It makes you aware of things. You learn so much. And me being out there, I done crossed paths and seen so many different avenues. I know my red flags and I know my green flags. It just puts you in that position to where you need to be aware as a woman too. You know, not just as a man, but as a woman. You know,
absolutely.
You gotta recognize game. You gotta know who's running game. You gotta know who's genuine. I mean, shit, they smooth. Your motherfuckers are smooth.
Look.
Shout out to them, man. They'll sell you fucking bag of shit and tell you it smell like roses. What the fuck? That game is so tight. It's like, boy, you better be up on your shit because they will swoop you up off your feet. So fast, for real.
You know why, right? Because you know why? Because you got so many different elements coming from there. You got the gangster thing. You got the pimp culture over there. You got the black militant culture over there. You got all all that type of gumbo mixed together. So you get all those elements at that time.
You do. You absolutely do. And there's different walks of life out there. That's what's so beautiful. You know, different genres of music. You've got, it has its section for everything. I mean, any entertainment life that you want, any type of, you know, you having a shitty day in the city you're in, man, jump on the highway and go to the town because they got functions everywhere. You got fight clubs. You got festivals at Lake Merritt. You got this going on over here. It's like a full day, like, who the hell don't want to leave from there? You know, it's there's always something popping off. Like, it's cool. It just, you just got to be aware of your surroundings because everywhere you go ain't always cool because there's always that one individual that'll fuck it up for everybody. You know?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, one thing about it, in terms of how we've been moving with the show over the years, you know, shout out to our man Doug Young, of course, you know, worked at Ruthless and Death Row. You know, Doug's a good friend of ours, coming straight out of San Francisco. He told us some stories on air, off air. Man got a million of them, and they're all true. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but
the music,
not to cut you off, but that is called Hulu.
Hulu.
Hulu, that's what it's going to be on. The price is going to be on Hulu and Amazon.
Okay, Hulu,
yeah,
okay.
There we go.
All right, we got it.
Yeah, we on.
Look, we got through the show, and we won't hang in on that last one because we want to, look, all streaming platforms in terms of what facilitates everybody viewing and listening is always good. That's how the message gets out there.
Yeah, that was the last thing that I did, and then the upcoming one, and then the prior one I did, you know, I filmed with Terrence Howard and Joanna Mann in Louisiana. That was Fright Club. That was epic. That, you know, Terrence Howard is the same way he in acting as he is in person, you know. That one I did a lot of reality shows. I've been on talk shows with RuPaul. I have my own documentary on Oprah Winfrey Network. Shit, I've been on What Not to Wear. I've done so much throughout the years, and I started in 2009. And I've been my own manager ever since. So nobody's ever promoted me. Nobody's ever supported me in it. I've just kind of moved up the ladder doing it on my own and just reaching out to people and rubbing elbows. That's all it took. I don't have a manager, so I just did it on my own.
Let me ask you this. The reality shows, like, I'm gonna ask her this, what about reality shows, like, how much of that shit is real and how much of that shit is fake?
So I'm gonna say the reality shows is, it's really fabricated. You know, everything you watch, I was supposed to go on Bad Girls Club, and I'll tell you the story about that because that was goofy as hell, but everything is staged. Everything is fabricated. So if there's something that doesn't fit right with the narrative, they'll have you, you know, flip the script for the audience. So if you're 40 years old dating an 80-year-old man, well, they're going to make that 80-year-old man be a 60-year-old man, so it seems more realistic. If you're having a relationship with a woman and you may be Caucasian and she is black, and they'll switch the black girl to a white girl. And then they flip the script as the true story. So they're adding in stuff. And then they'll cut and have you say it again to re-record. So everything is staged before you even step on the stage. And that's just how it goes. They pick what they want you to say. Some of it is true. And I'm going to say maybe 85% of it is not. You know, because they tell you what they want you to say. That's just it. Like, yeah, everything is really staged. You know, reality TV is staged, and you just got to play your part in it. And you got to do the best. Otherwise, they're going to retake on that, and you're going to have to do it again. Yeah.
What we see a lot of times on those shows, how do I say this? We always kind of had a suspicion that stuff would be a little exaggerated / fabricated because we know people got stuff going on in their lives. And also by the same token, I'm going to just keep it brick. I don't think a lot of people, if they really had that level of dysfunction in their lives personally on a real candid level, that they would want everybody knowing, which, like you said, would be more of the actual dramatization, as we call in the industry, dramatic license, because you have to come up with some type of captivating, engaging narrative / story arc that keeps the audience. And I mean, that's show business. I mean, it's when we break it down in this essence, that's really no different than a lot of rappers who shall remain nameless, who talk a lot of stuff on their albums, but then you find out you're grinning too because you know some stories about that too. You know, but a lot of rappers who talk a lot. And now she's laughing real hard because she really knows some stories.
Because I know, because a lot of them, and I do know a lot of artists, and some of them really talk the real deal, like you said. And then when you come to find out and you know them personally, you're like, man, that's a whole bunch of bullshit. That is not you. Like, you're talking about somebody else, because this is not the life that you lead. You come from a perfect family. You know, you didn't live that life. You didn't live from, you know, the rut. You didn't come from that. You know, you've had that silver spoon. So a lot of the stuff, I don't even believe the music nowadays is garbage to me. I mean, because they lie so much. Like, I don't know. I stick with the 90s because everything had a plot. Everything had a meaning. Everything had a story to tell. Now it's like they rapping A-E-I-O-U.
And not to mention, with the 90s, hey, you know, that's a good point you guys made, because even with the 80s and the 90s, you had like a monument. You had a blueprint. You had you would consider also a message and standards. You had rules and regulations. You won't gonna go live on your Instagram when you cooking crack. You had to lay low.
Right. Yes. Yes. Now everything is so just out there. Everybody's telling on theyself. It's like they just, you know, everybody telling on theyself or telling on someone else. Everybody putting their business out there, and all these artists they're getting goofy to me. I'm just like, really? You just told on yourself in the song. Like, I don't know. I just don't understand. And they beat a lot, lot.
I think a lot of times, too. Yeah. I think a lot of times, too, y'all, like King, you know, you were saying, is that when you're looking at the 90s, shout out to Uncle Richie Rich from the Bay, of course. We've had him on a couple times.
Yes.
Great guy. He was telling us about how the OGs back in the day, and when you got guys like, you know, rest in peace, you know, Felix Mitchell, you know, those guys were the heavyweights back in the day. You know, in terms of the OGs that were, you know, all, you know, legendary, but, you know, kind of in the back, they were helping a lot of brothers get on. But he was saying that straight up and down, they weren't going to put you in the studio if they didn't think you were real or you were ready to really rep the town. You know, that's a heavy weight that you have on you for the reputation that you are broadcasting, you know, in terms of your politicking. And this is no slight to the generation now, some of them, because you got a lot of dope MCs out today. But what has happened, y'all, we talked about this so many times on the shows with so many people, is that because the rise of social media, it has given a more expedited broadcast outlet to a lot of these artists. Back in the day, there were people that you heard stories about, and some of them were true and some of them weren't, but a lot of times there was still that cloak of mystery that didn't really, like with Rakim. There was a lot of rumors about Rakim in terms of who he really was in the street. You've never heard anything about Rakim ever being a bitch, though, in the street. You've never heard that story ever.
Nah.
Cool G Rap. You know, we know about Cool G Rap. You know, he said in interviews about how he used to be pimping this back in the day. You have never heard anybody say that Cool G Rap wasn't real in the street. Shout out to Ice-T, who follows our page. Shameless plug. For those that have not read his latest book he wrote with Douglas Century and his best friend Spike, you know, Split Decision, y'all need to check that book out. Hell of a life story written from Spike and Ice-T's perspectives of each part of their life. Ice-T talked in that book about how he, you know, got down in the streets. You know, you've never heard anybody say that Ice-T won't deal in the streets. But also, too, like I said, because we didn't see it on television or a computer, we really had to take it for what it was. And a lot of it was true what they were talking, because some of the stuff you were seeing in the videos, this, that, and the other, and even if some of it came out later on in the magazines, you know, shout out Source, Double XL, you would hear real stories from people about how they were really getting down out there. So it kind of gave credence to the claims. Now we're seeing a lot of artists who are clout chasing for that credence, exaggerating claims. You know, I'm out here in Virginia. I'm not going to mention the group because it was already all over the news when it did happen. But they did a video basically where it was depicting them, you know, cooking up crap, like King was saying. Little did they know that they were already under the eyes of the FBI in a criminal investigation. By the time they all got knocked, they had been under investigation for like 4 or 5 years, you know, and the video pretty much was, I'm not going to say the video was the culmination of it, because the investigation from what they had on surveillance was already pretty, you know, was already pretty much concrete. But the video was kind of confirmation of what they had pretty much already known. They all went down for it.
They just basically incriminated themselves.
Exactly. But by the same token, it was like they were trying to give out that image that they were really in the streets, which they were. But it wasn't. My thing is this. And somehow, y'all, the game got changed. Back in the day, you were getting in the game to get out of the game. When you did music, that was, Ice-T once again wrote in the book, he talked about it. Once his, because he was a smash and grab artist in the malls. They would hit the malls, smash the glass cases in the jewelry stores, take the Rolexes, all that shit. You know, but when he started rhyming and, you know, he saw his career was really beginning to take off, that's when he was like, okay, I'm going to go full tilt with this music. Right. And you did that because the illegal means was something that it wasn't about you necessarily wanting to do bad. It was about you had to find a way to survive. And, yeah, there was a profit in it. But when you really realized there was a way to get out of that, you realize, okay, there's another way that's more profitable and legal.
It just dawned on me. What it is mm-hmm. is that what? The guys that we grew up listening to, they came from a different part of the jungle where you had to really be outside yep. and interact Absolutely. With people. And as soon as you find rap music or, you know, playing basketball, football, or whatever you're doing, you ain't trying to go back into the street. You ain't trying to go back into the jungle. It was rough. Now you see a paradigm shift now where you see people that didn't have no experience in dealing with real life, for one. They get lucky. They get a hit song on YouTube. So they get a bunch of money up in advance. So then what they want to do? They want to treat this shit like a video game. I want to go out there and start speeds. I want to go to the hood. Like it's a field trip or some shit. So they'll go out there and
These artists aren't being hand-fed. They didn't have to struggle like the older artists back in the day where they had to sell tapes out the trunk of their car or stand outside of Capitol Records overnight just to get an audition inside. You know what I mean? It was back then it was harder to make it. Now there's so many platforms for these artists to do it. It's kind of made them lazy into having to work for it. You know, they're not working hard for it because it's kind of given to them, in a sense. You pay for the views, you can do all of that.
You know, and one of the most recent success stories, albeit, oh God, we missed him so much because we were going to get him on the show, you know, Nipsey Hussle, because we had a mutual friend. Oh. Shout out Twan Gotti, because we were in the process of trying to get him before he passed. But Nipsey, two things about King Nip. Number one, once again, you've never heard anything about Nip being a bitch in the street. Shout out to Black Sam, G.I. Joe, rest in peace, Patman the Gunman, Jay Stone, the whole 60s, All Money In crew, Killer Twan. Shout out to Mike and Keys, who's done the music for so many of those guys. All of them were, you know, all the artists that I mentioned were real in the streets. You never heard anything about them in terms of not really living what they were talking. And Nip, but when Nip really, really wanted to do the music, Nip really went full tilt in terms of pushing his product, you know, really getting it out there. People mm-hmm. don't understand. When Victory Lap came out, people don't understand the significance behind Victory Lap with that album. Mm-hmm. Victory Lap was the name of the album because that was a culmination of him making his of that marathon that, you know, for the first phase of it, well, many phases, but the latest phase of it at that time, that he had already crossed the finish line. Nip was already known in L.A. He was already a multimillionaire. He just needed distribution in terms of getting his music out to the masses, which is why he signed that deal. He needed it. He needed that. He had done everything at the time in the city mm-hmm. of L.A. for what he took it as far as he could take it at home. So the thing was next, take it international.
Right.
You know, when you got guys, I can't forget my people in San Diego. Shout out to Southeast Dago, Mitchie Slit, Wrong Kind, Meat Face, DJ, Mob Boss, GE, you know, Ryan Anthony out there, Oso Ocean, all of y'all out there, man. Got so much love for Dago out there with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchie Slit, you know, Linkin Park Blood. Mitchie has really, quick story, because of the, in my job, a guy came in and we just struck up a conversation. He said he was from Dago. And if you're from Dago or you know the gang history out there, you know, with Linkin Park and Skyline Piru, they hate each other. And this mm-hmm. dude just happened to be from Skyline and we struck up a conversation. Now, mind you, I didn't know this dude. He didn't know me, but he talked about he was from San Diego, and I started naming off some spots because I knew it. And I asked him, what was the deal with Mitchie? And he showed me a nod upside his head, and he was like, that was some tangling with Mitchie.
Oh.
He had to get it up. It's like, he's like, he had that scar, and he was like, Mitch is a real dude. He's like, he's really, he's like, and this is coming from the, and this is coming from the ops. And he's like, Mitch is a real dude. But what you have
your
now,
enemy bow down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
what you have now are a lot of, and what you have are a lot of artists today that, like y'all said, are being spoon-fed, but they don't understand when you're online, you can be whoever you want to be. With the rise of social media, we have seen the frequently of fraudulency. I say it again. We have seen the frequently of fraudulency. It's become a counterfeit communication to the crowd. Try to act loud, to boast about being the most. But when it really comes down, your reputation, as my man Robert Greene wrote, you know, in the 48 Laws of Power, your reputation is everything. Guard it with your life. We have seen a emphasis on ignorant behavior, which doesn't have to be, because I think where, like King said, the game changed, the biggest thing we got away from was the creativity and the music. It's okay to love the culture and to, you know, you don't have to sell drugs. You don't have to kill nobody. You ain't got to rob nobody. And you still make dope music.
Right.
Because that's the truth. Because there is an edge that is going to sell. Because that's just what we like. We love the edge. That's American culture. We thrive. This country was founded on revolution. So we already got that anti-authority spirit within us, in our culture embedded. You know, because when we broke away from the crown, from the Queen of England, you know, we broke away from the crown, you know, starting with the, Boston Massacre, of which Crispus Attucks was killed. He was the first casualty in the American, that was the start of the American Revolution, for those that don't know the history, and of course the Boston Tea Party. So when we decided we were mad as hell and we weren't going to take it anymore, and we were getting out from under the crown, motherfucker, we was like, we out. That's always been in us to not necessarily follow the rules. And with a lot of these artists today, they have to understand that it is a real situation out there, that when you start talking crazy about people, you involve yourself in things that you don't really understand, there's a price to pay for it. And unfortunately, we've seen some people get caught out there, get pressed like a suplex or a bench press, you know, about what's all that you was talking, but you not really who you say you is. And one thing about it is, as we were talking earlier, before you got on, we were having a discussion about, ultimately the name of the game is, once you get in, it's about a professionalism, because you got to leave the streets alone. We saw the situation that happened with Young Thug and how it changed, you know, and what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, because those guys is all about want to make history at the end of the day. It's like you turn that lease in life. You want to leave the streets alone. Now you want to make some legit money. Because, you know, this shit ain't fun ducking your head, ducking dunk gunshots, and worried about the feds snatching you up. It's not a fun thing. And that's, I think, that's what made the music so timeless that came out in the 90s, was because they put the good, bad, and the ugly out there.
Right.
Yeah. And it was something that we could all relate to at a certain level, because it was in a place of real creativity. Now it's all about how people are about commerce. It's a stock and trade of what we can move. We don't care how true it is and how, or what have you. Now, we look at what happened with Tekashi and how that situation quickly unraveled for him when everybody found out he wasn't who he said he was. You know, and for some reason, he's still running around talking crazy about how he this, that, and the other. And I'm like, one thing about it, I don't wish death on nobody. I don't wish misfortune on nobody. But when you keep playing around with certain things, you're going to find out what it is.
Man, let me tell you this. Right. Let me tell y'all this. The man's in Russia. And, you know, they ain't trying to let nobody in Russia. How the fuck he get in Russia? He get to diss Brittany Griner. And nothing happened to him. Like, no, why are you even in Russia? This dude's a straight-up agent, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agent. How you in Russia?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't want nobody American over there, but yeah, he over there.
Yeah,
yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, it's, he's become a sideshow. Nobody takes him serious as an artist. You know, he's just a sideshow now.
Fuck out of here. He in Russia. But check this. I want to ask you. I want to ask Don this here, though. You know, we're talking about music. And mm-hmm. I heard one of the, you know, I think a snippet of a song that you did. Now, when you started rapping, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
how did you ever master that? Like, did you study the greats, or did you get nervous doing mm-hmm. it? Like, what was your, how did you get involved
no.
in doing that? Because I can't rap.
Okay. It wasn't my go-to. It's not like what my expertise was in, because acting is my expertise. But Drew said, you know what? Because we were in the studio, he says, Don, I want you to do this part for me. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah. It started off when we did on Welcome to Drew's World on his album, and then he had me singing on it. So that was cool. And then I think the wine done kicked in, and then he said, well, fuck it, here, rap. So I ended up rapping, and I did Pulling All Nighters and with him, and that's a song that me and him did, and I was talking about Seaside, that's where I'm from, and he was talking about his get down in the town, and it ended up being a great song. It ended up being a great song, and what's crazy is that was my first time ever rapping was with Drew. That wasn't never my expertise. That wasn't my go-to, and it just so happened to be that we ended up doing it, and we did a couple of songs, but I'm better at the ideas of a song when it comes to music. Like, you know, he redid the 187 Proof with Spice One, and I told him, why don't you do the weed song, Weed Proof? So he started naming all the grains of weed, you know, that came out. So he flipped the script from the 187 Proof to Weed Proof. So, and that was a cool little song, and I told him, I said, do a Halloween song, you know, so coming for you and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just been back-to-back type stuff. And then we did one with the On Top Drip Drop, that song. So it's just two different albums that I did with him. And I got to say, it was an experience, because Drew has bars, you know. Matter of fact, I just told his ass to tap in, so hopefully he will. But it was an experience, you know what I mean? It was kind of fun in the same token, but it's draining. That's not my go-to. I'd rather get in front of cameras and light camera action, you know? I can do that.
Absolutely.
I can act better than I can rap.
Absolutely. I'm like, because we were studying the great coming in. Like, we were listening to guys like Rakim, Kool G Rap, Nas, Jay-Z, Tupac. I looked at like, look, I can't get involved with this shit. I can't fucking rap. Let me just go ahead and just play my position.
Yeah, I can't. I'm just not a rapper. But when I did it, people was like, damn, you sound good. But that's because I have that country type of voice in the song. You know, Pulling All Nighters, it was just that to me. I just thought like, hey, it was my first time. I was like, damn, I do sound good, don't I? So it kind of threw me through a loop, you know. It was just, I'm just, that's not what I'm looking forward to doing, but it was, the opportunity was there, and I gravitated to it, and it was an honor to do it. You know, it was just, how many people in a lifetime can ever actually say that they've done this or that, you know? And it was cool. It was hella cool,
definitely,
but I'm looking forward to acting. I'm looking forward to doing a song with EA Ski. That's who I want to do a song with, EA Ski.
Man.
Yeah. That's who I would love because he makes hot beats. So that's the guy. And plus, he's been a legend. He's been doing music with Dr. Dre and all of them, and I would love to do something with him. Because he's got them
thumpers. He's one of the coldest out in the West, for real.
Man,
yeah,
EA,
he one of the coldest we ever heard.
Man,
right.
Look, if I had to say one EA beat in particular that I'm like just, it's got to be Trigger Got No Heart by Spice One. Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah.
Minister Society, 1993. And, shout out to Spice. Shout out to Spice because, you know, he's one of the few artists that did the song where the clean version was almost better than the dirty version. Both of those are synonymous. I mean, it was so dope. They put the clean version on the soundtrack as well as the dirty version. But, I mean, that's...
You don't ever see that.
No, you don't. But
people
don't
ever do the club version or the radio version of music. It's not anymore. It the radio now plays the explicit.
That's kind of crazy, ain't it?
But, you know, it's crazy because there's no radio version no more because everything is explicit. They don't even do Mac of the Year no more. It's straight Pimp of the Year. And you're like, what? So it's shit like that. But it's crazy because, you know, the music I grew up off of course, was that era. And SIBO was my go-to. I played SIBO, The Autopsy, and all that shit. That was our go-to back in the day, was playing SIBO, because that shit was hard as hell back then. That was.
Yeah,
and
Gas
South
Chamber
Central
Joint.
Cartel.
Yeah,
South
it's
Central
still the
Cartel
cast,
was
yeah,
another
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
They're from the L.A., and they still making bangers, you know? And so, you know, and SIBO's still doing his thing. All that legendary artist is still trying to come back, and I hope they do. I really do. Because just like fashion always swings back around. Maybe the artist thing can swing back around too. You know, the type of music.
Dawn, we want to get your opinion on this too, because shout out to Wendy Day of Rap Coalition. We interviewed her last week, and we were talking about black films in terms of especially that 90s era. What do you think changed in terms of where we saw the proliferation of black productions from TV, like with, you know, Different World, Martin Cosby Show, Under One Roof, you know, Fresh Prince, Jason's Lyric, Facts of Life. Well, I mean, you could just say the coming of age dramas, you know, but the shows actually resonated. But when we get to the movies like Boomerang, what else? Thin Line Between Love and Hate, How to Be a Player. Of course, I guess the aforementioned
Love and
Menace
Basketball.
Society. Love and Basketball, Brown Sugar.
Yes.
From the years of 19, roughly 89, of course, you know, 88 even, with School Days, you know, he had Jungle Fever, New Jersey Drive, Juice, Poetic Justice. What happened from
anything that came out for the 90s?
Yeah, and even to the early 2000s. What changed in terms of where we lost our direction with a lot of these black movies helmed by black producers and directors getting out there? Where did it change as to how it's not the same now?
As far as why it's not being, you know, publicized the way that it used to be and being put out because it, you know, and to me, I'm thinking is because we're not having a lot of the younger generation that's even having an interest in being a director or producer of filming. You know, that's not their dream or their go-to. Now we have underground filming that's taking place. All these apps that are you know, taking what kind of filming is that when it's the budget filming? Because now everybody's stuck on the budget filming, which is the actual, you know, it's staged, of course, but and so is the other stuff. But nobody has the interest in wanting to film like that. Everybody wants to be a rapper now. Nobody wants to be an actor or, you know, or a director of filming or anything in that nature. And if they do, they're making short films or series that they can pitch out, and it's being picked up by these underground labels, you know, and hoping that it'll turn. But then the vision is different now. People aren't, you know, as loving and funny, because people are now sensitive to shit, you know? So everything is kind of scary to even film anything, because back then what happened to laughing to Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy when they make a racial joke or a gay joke or anything in that nature? Nowadays you can't touch that subject, because it's people are being sensitive and they, you know, they want, I don't know, the times have changed. So everything is different, and these kids like to watch these cornball ass series that, you know, it's too, what do you call it? It's too gushy, you know, the series, or it's more, or thuggish. There's no in between. There's no plot. It's just kind of like thugging it out, or it's too white to me, a lot of the stuff nowadays. But like you said, falling back on what you were saying, these kids aren't taking any, you know, initiative to take the courses and wanting to further their career in filming or produce anything, because I don't think it's going to draw the attention of the younger generation, because it's, look what has changed in the world. Everything is changing, you know, even you got more apps. Back then you just had cable.
I'm gonna be a little more blunt with y'all, and I might step on some toes when I say this.
I could have went raw with it, but I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings.
Don't
worry about it. I'll take all the smoke, even though I'm on Facebook restriction away from being up out of here.
Look, we're journalists. We have a frequent flyer pass in the smoking section. So I'm going to say it. A lot of times, not all, but some of the youth today are lazy, some of them. Because one thing about it is, when you look at a lot of the, so I'm going to get back to what you said about some of the jokes with some of the shows earlier, because we got to touch back on that in a second. But when you look at what it takes to be a director, when John Singleton, rest in peace, when he directed Boys in the Hood when it was released in 1991, he was 24 years old, fresh out of USC film school, you know, and, you know, he pretty much helmed a big, New Line distributed it, but he pretty much oversaw that project from beginning to end. And you got to think about it.
Right.
At the same token, look who we were seeing at the beginning of their movie careers. This is where we saw Ice Cube in his first major role. We saw Cuba Gooding Jr. We saw Regina King, who had come from 227 with Marla Gibbs and Hal Williams, you know,
right.
and was beginning, you know, because kind of transitioning into an adult career. You know, you saw, of course, Lawrence Fishburne. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just
Denzel Washington. You have all of these.
Yeah.
Everything seems more of a documentary now. It doesn't seem like a show or a series, something that you can get into it, but most of it is gangstified. You know, you don't have any normal type shit like how we used to watch back in the 90s, like you were saying, you know. all of that's gone out the window because these kids' attention span is gone so far away. They can't focus. They can only watch so much and then they out the door. Like, they got too much going on because everything, it wasn't like it was back then where you had just cable TV, a telephone on the wall, and maybe a pager. Now they got laptops and cell phones and this and that and the other. Man, their attention span is everywhere. They're not
too much information. It's way too much information. This is like what you said earlier. You got all these apps and stuff. It's like you don't really appreciate physical media or, you know, buying like tapes and DVDs because, you know, that's personal property.
No.
Now you got a whole library of shit.
Artists are getting. It's crazy because you can't even buy a CD no more. You get the music for free. Nobody's going to spend no money. You can get all of it for free. They've got so many apps where you can download the song. Mm-hmm. You know,
and they ain't making no money off of it.
No money off of it because it's free. Everything is free now. Shit, you could take one phone, connect another phone. Even if you don't even know how to download the music, you could just record it from another phone and have the song, you know? It's crazy. Nobody's getting money like they used to unless... Go ahead.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying, too, they won't get no... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cutting the pie even a little bit lesser now. Now you're getting the tail end of the pie. At least with the show money,
right,
you're getting some of that. Even with the CD somewhat, depending on how you arrange your deal, you was getting some of that. These streaming sites, you're getting like 1 cent of a penny.
I mean, look. When we had this discussion, we always referenced the show we did with Young Con to Don about 2-3 years ago. We did with him. Shout out to Young Con because he broke it down. I mean, the dude's math wizardry was just beyond unbelievable. The way he broke down that's one of the best shows we ever did in terms of the numbers metrics of how artists actually make money during the show, you know, in terms of their music. And he broke down literally to the last penny how much artists don't get in terms of streaming. And this is what King and myself, we come from a different generation. So we know the importance of the magazines, of buying the CDs, because when you look at eBay, when you look at some of those CDs and magazines like the Source magazine, I shit you not, the one with Biggie from 1995, the King of New York cover. I staked my Jordan collection on it because I seen it. That magazine at one point was going for $700. The XXL freshman issue from about 3-4 years ago with Triple Extension and a couple other people, that was going for like $1,000.
Right.
Got devalued. Like, and when everything started going through technology, it devalued all forms of entertainment.
Right.
Yeah, and it made everybody start believing.
And all the music, all the music started being treated like fast food. Like when you bought an album, you got the investment in that person's story. You get to see from the liner notes, the motherfuckers they shouted out on the damn record. You get to know who these people are. Like, okay, we get to know his story. Mm-hmm. You get to know who they sample these records from. That's how you got your knowledge on finding samples. Now they just putting shit out.
Right.
And it's forgotten within another couple days.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And having it in your hands in terms of the music, what we're seeing now is when they talk about how the culture is being robbed, a lot of this stuff, the technology, it does provide efficiency, but it's kind of lifting the actual history up from under our nose in terms of the tangible items, which is why I tell everybody, you know, like Nas's Illmatic on cassette, that's going on eBay right now for like $1,000, brand new in a package. The original Cuban Links cassette, somebody is selling that for like, I think $4,000 or $5,000 on eBay, the original purple cassette from 1995.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got some of the old Source magazines from like the early 90s that are going for like $150, $200. And this is history. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is some of it. It was older, so it's not as what's the word, readily available anymore. But it's still vital nonetheless, because it is an artifact of authenticity that tells a story of the history.
Right.
And that's important. If we don't tell our history, if we don't preserve our history, we're leaving it up to somebody else to interpret and tell it. And these are usually going to be people that have no investment in our history, who are not from our history, who are not involved with it, and who don't care about it except the way to monetize it. And I would tell any artist, when you, even with Griselda, you still see them press up a lot of their, they do limited runs of their merchandise, but Griselda presses up CDs. You know, Benny Westside, you know, Conway, Armani mm-hmm. Caesar, Boldy James, Alt Rome Street, you know, Flea Lord, you know, Stove God, all of them, they got, you know, they'll do limited runs of certain projects. You know, because they want their fans, you know, you go to any of their shows, they're going to have a merch section where they're going to sell their stuff. And that's a way for people to have something to really engage with them. Because to me, when you are able to touch it and feel it, like King said, read the liner notes, you really, really, really have an appreciation for the work that went into it. And I think that's why the game is fucked up in the music industry right now.
Right.
Absolutely.
We got artists who are, we're seeing artists get into this shit not because they love it, but because they think mm-hmm. it's an easy ass way to make money. I mean, I was up in the sports store the other day, you know, talking with my homegirl, Ms. O. And she said a couple of her workers that are young boys, they're like 17, 18. Their thing is they want to grow up to be professional YouTubers. I'm like,
it won't be a TikTok.
TikTokers. Yeah.
Yeah. Or,
it's
yeah,
a fashion trend now. Everything is a fashion trend. So everybody, like I was saying earlier, everybody want to be a rapper, just like now everybody want to be a stripper. I mean, you know, it's a fashion trend. That's not, strippers now aren't modest how they used to be when I was stripping back in the day. You had to be modest. You was going in there like Diamond on Players Club, make that money and don't let that money make you. Now, these girls is going out there. Now these girls are going out there twerking and doing all this. Where's the dancing at? So everything is a fashion. Everybody's following everybody's lead. Nobody has their own identity. You know, nobody's dancing anymore. It's just everybody's shaking their ass. And everybody's writing music now. And 8 times out of 10, it's garbage. You know?
This ain't real music.
Yeah. And this is what people have to understand.
And can't read music either.
And this is what people got to understand. Oh, go ahead, Kane. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, and they can't read music either. That's why you don't even have hardly any soul singers no more.
No, whatever happened to the live music, like people using instruments and making music, like legitimately, you know, everything's a sample. Everybody's using somebody else's beat to make it. They're doing remakes of stuff, you know. It's just, some people do have their own fresh beats, but can they afford to buy the beats from a legitimate engineer or producer? You know, they're making their own beats and they're laying their tracks and they're going into the studio and making an album. You know, there's not a lot of work you have to do to make a song. You can do it in the garage nowadays, in the bathroom.
And you know, being
around Drew and you know, learning things from him, you know that studio time was a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Studio time is constantly a retake. And then you want to add your ad libs and you want to do this and you want to do that. Now people are, you know, everything is just
and he likes to perfection his stuff. So he's doing the ad-libs. He's redoing a verse, or he's doing whatever. Now they're just straight rapping. There ain't nothing special going on. It's just, there's no nothing. It's just, you know, although I did like MO3's music, and I liked him, you know, and rest in peace. He's still my go-to. I like stuff like that. But yeah, the studio time is time consuming. God, is it time consuming? You be there at 7 at night and don't leave till 4 in the morning.
Another shameless.
Hey, hold on, y'all. I think we got a call. I think we got a 916 call on the line. Let me see what it is. It's from California.
Okay, Sacramento.
Okay,
Sacramento. Sacramento, you on 916?
Guess he got shot.
Sacramento.
Anyway, back to the bill.
Yeah.
Back to the bill.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, about that studio time.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell y'all.
Studio time.
I'm going to tell y'all.
I don't fell asleep on sofas while it is being recorded. Hell yeah, there's sofas in there. You be waiting all night. You like, hell no. Nah. I'm going to sleep. So you wake up and they still recording. You wake up, everybody drunk. But it's just the studio life is a different lifestyle. It really is. Dan, tell me. Entertainment, recording in a studio when you're filming is different from a studio session. It's two different lifestyles, because you in and out when you're filming, there ain't no bullshit. They just boom, boom, boom. Because it requires a lot more people. It's a lot. So, and you're on the set, and people ain't waiting around. They want to get the shit over with and go on. But, yeah.
Shameless plug.
Studio gets hot.
Yeah, shameless plug, because I'm going to tell y'all a dope YouTube channel where they're funny as fuck, but they really, really, really break down how it goes. Rap Rats, RAPRATZ. They're the characters. It's an animated channel. The characters are Rizzo and Rat, so they got a lot of comedy. If you heard that song, ooh, got me fucked up. If y'all heard that on YouTube or on IG, that's those guys, Rap Rats. But they're geniuses, and they talk, but in the midst of the comedy skits they have, they also talk about the studio etiquette and what goes on. Their channel is fire. Go to their channel on IG and subscribe to them on YouTube as well. Their channel is dope. And they break down all the etiquette in terms of everything. Yeah, check them out, because they break down everything in terms of, you know, they really give the science about how when you're recording in a studio, Dawn, like you were saying, it's a very intimate process, which means, you know, it's the engineer, it's the producer, it's the artist, and they're trying to make it sound right. And some of the stuff they talk about is not having a whole bunch of people up in the studios, not doing nothing.
It gets hot in there. It's hot in the studio, and then, you know, if you're getting somebody else on that track, they're not doing it sometimes at the same studio. They're doing it from another studio. So it's a lot of, Dropbox and all that stuff that they do. Yeah. So that's a lot of work.
Yeah, they talk about how when you may be in a studio building with don't bother. Don't walk up in another major artist studio session because that'll get you banned from it because there are just certain rules you don't violate. You know, they talk about when you do live shows, don't have a whole bunch of this person and that person all up on the stage, not doing nothing, just standing. You know, they give a lot of lessons, a lot of jewels.
That's your groupies, though. That's the ones that go with you to the shows that want to get in. You know, because they know that they gonna meet all the bitches. They ain't got no part in the song. They ain't got no part in the show. They just want to be there because they know you are who you are, and all the bitches is gonna come. That's how that goes. Because they just groupies. They on the coattail. And they don't do nothing for you. They're just there. They're just what they call them, stragglers.
Yeah.
They're stragglers. That's what they are. They just there. just taking up space on the stage so that they can get noticed. I call them the groupies. That's how it be.
Yeah, that's what the worst thing. Yeah. That was one of the worst things about looking at rap shows at the time. They used to bring like 30 to 40 people on the damn stage. And then half the time, mics ain't working. And they only do like, what, two songs?
Two songs. And you got all the whole mob on stage. And then dip. You brought all these people for what? Is that why? Why they can't? The stage should be yours. You know, you ain't got no room to run across if you want to.
I think for a time, because
everybody's huddled up.
I think for a time, at one time, it was dope because it brought a certain energy. I know out in the Bay, they would do that heavy. Rest in peace to the late, great Mac Dre, because I know when he would, you know, do his thing, you know, he would have his crew up there. I think it, you know, I think when it's genuine energy in terms of the people who are around you who really, really know how to encapsulate the essence of the music, it's great. That's a very, very... I think, but that's something that I think for a time it was dope to do, like in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. Shout out to my homie Jeezy, you know, from CTE, of course, DJ Ace, Boo Rossini, Snoop 11, you know, 11 the Artist, all of those guys. So,
them people on stage is like a congregation. They just come together. You will be in the audience looking at the stage. There's one person, there's the hype guy, and there's the rappers that are up there. Everybody else in the back is blowing smoke or talking to each other. Their purpose is pointless of being on that stage. It doesn't make any sense. You got a bunch of guys on the stage, and they just blowing smoke and talking to each other, and that's it. It looks ridiculous, if you ask me. There's nobody hyping up at all. There's nothing at all. And that I do a shout out to Grasshopper because he be doing his thing with the condom for the loonies.
I'm gonna tell y'all before he went a little loony, who does one of the greatest live performances, and I'm glad I got to see him before he really got big. Kanye West. When Kanye first started. I live in Hampton Roads, Virginia. When he was at the Norva back in 2004, me and a shorty I know, me and her went. This is like when Kanye just dropped College Dropout. This is like when he was really getting out there on the solo tip. Ooh, that motherfucker can rock a show by himself. He, Little Brother opened up, and then Kanye was the main act.
His stage lighting is cold. Man, Kanye's West whole stage lighting, his whole back, everything is just, it's beautiful. You know what I mean? And I wish that it could be like that for some of our artists out here. But it's not like that. Often you just see a bunch of smoke in the air, but his stage presentation is so powerful. I know what you're talking about.
It shows the off the
Yeah, and then so you think about
like, this motherfucker
be playing
right
now.
Yeah,
I mean, the Kanye now he's making his event with his shows. I've said what I've said about Kanye on this show about I don't agree with everything he says or does. And I don't, and even with some of the music he's put out, I wasn't feeling. But I will say this, when he is locked in, that man can put it together when he really wants to put it together. And this is in 2004 when he was starting and he robbed it. He's got way more money now. And a lot more creative vision of what he really wants to bring to the audience. So some of those stage shows that I've seen, you know, videos of, it's like it's on another level. But I can say this, Kanye knows what he's doing when he wants to put a show together. He knows what he's doing. You know, and at the end of the day, it's show business. Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to give the people an experience. I think when we look at the era we came up in, when we look at how we understood showmanship, how we understood comedy, like I said earlier about when we get back to about some of the shows, we look at how pop culture, shows like Living Color, Mad TV,
Def Jam. Def Jam?
Def Comedy Jam.
Yes.
I mean, we really loved
that.
I mean, we saw
the
beginning.
That was the best comedy. People were cracking up.
Yeah, and I mean, when we look at the beginning of that, when we saw Def Comedy Jam, we saw the beginning of Bernie Mac, Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, you know, Adele Givens, you know,
right.
We saw all of them, you know, who were, you know, on the color. We saw Keenan Ivory
yeah.
Wayans with his comedy genius, who we referenced Richard Pryor earlier, who Keenan wrote for. We saw the beginning of Tommy Davidson and Jim Carrey, Kim Coles, you know, Damon Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Sean Wayans, Steve
My
Park,
question is,
you know,
Different Fox. World, remember, or In Living Color. Remember, that was
yeah.
the starting point for a lot of the older generation to make it to the point of where they are at in their career of acting. That was the starting point for many. How come they don't have that no more? You know, giving opportunity for people to have, you know, to go on a show like that and start stardom. You know,
part of it is probably a selfish mindset now, because you even noticed the landscape of the business now. You don't even really see a lot of groups. You don't really like a lot of R&B groups, for that matter. They like scarce.
No.
Like, when the last time we even seen an R&B group, for that matter? I mean, we see rap crews, but look what breaks them up. Money.
Yeah.
Everybody done
There's
got green.
No
so they seen. Go ahead.
No New Edition. No, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the men that used to go back in the day to the club and dance? Now they're holding up walls. Like, people used to wear the MC Hammer pants and their Gumby hairdo and the polka dot shirts, and they used to get it in, and now they're garbage. They just hold up the wall. They won't even slow dance. They don't even play slower songs. So, hell, why would they?
Man, look.
It's all trap. It's all trap, and it's all whipping the pot. the whole 2 hours you there, or the whole 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're old enough to remember that era of the club, and thank God, you know, I was around for those last few years of the club scene where it was really a club. Like, the DJ, you had your opening, you know, you had your DJ to open up to set the mood. Then when 12 o'clock, you get to the turn up. But even then, you had the slow dancing. You know, you had the song. You even have people clear the floor to people have dance battles. You know, you had, when we take it back to, and I think that's why our generation understands the whole scene differently. We've said this on many a show. We listened to everything growing up. If it was pop music by Mariah Carey or Smashing Pumpkins, you know, we listened to everything.
Right.
So we understood it. You know, Nirvana, you know, we could listen to Nirvana. We could listen to Ice Cube. We listened to the radio. We watched MTV. We watched BET. We understood music because we listened to everything. So it's not, so our education was broad because it was not limited. That's the one thing for the young people today that I really, really lament, because they only listen to one type of style, which is trap, because that's what's been pushed, because that's what everybody's seeing is moving the needle of the bottom line, getting the bank. If you ask a lot of these kids, in terms of some, they don't even get some of the references in some of the songs, or because they number one, they weren't around for it. Number two, nobody taught them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
right.
they're gonna wear a Menace to Society. They're gonna wear that shirt of Kane and Menace to Society and the Mustang, the 5.0, but they never seen the movie. You know, they don't know how big that movie was at the time. You know,
I'm seeing people wear AC/DC. I'm like, you don't even know AC/DC. You're wearing a Metallica.
You don't know what
the hell
song.
What the hell are you repping?
Y'all don't even listen to rock music, heavy metal. Y'all don't even know that they're from Australia. You know what I'm saying? Y'all wear a Metallica shirt and don't even listen to look, I can say this because I listen to heavy metal. That's my shit. So I know about these bands. I,
and I know about the history. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like,
I love light rock. I love rap. I love R&B, Motown. I'm all genres. Just don't give me the bluegrass. I can't fuck with it. But the T-shirts that I see these kids wearing, and I'm like, do you even know one of the songs? I even ask them. I'm like, do you even know Ozzy Osbourne? Bark at the Moon? Do you even know that?
No more tears.
Oh, Lord, you put them on the spot.
I mean, do you know that he used to sing? I'm like, do you know what band he sang before? Yeah, do you know he sang with Black Sabbath before he went solo?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
And we got to shout out. Exactly. We got to shout out the Bay Area with Oakland, because there were so many great bands that came out of Bay Area. Testament, Forbidden, Violence. I mean, who else? Oh, man. I mean, it's just so many. Of course, you know, Kirk Hammett, I believe he was from the Bay Area. He was from the Bay Area before he joined with Metallica. You know, Faith No More, I think they're from the Bay Area. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot that come from the Bay.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot come from the Bay. A lot just come from California in general. They have numerous of rock artists.
Death
and
Angel.
Artists.
I got Death Angel. Death Angel's from Oakland as well.
Yeah.
They're all Filipino, yeah. Death Angel's from there.
Oh, I forgot about them. Yeah. No, for sure. It's crazy. It's just mind-boggling when you sit and you just look at the newer generation and how their movement is and how they're doing things. And it's like, what? They're cut from a whole nother cloth than we were. You know, it's our beliefs are different and our styles were different back then. And now it's just, I'm like, I'm not going to rock no skinny jeans with my dude. He's not going to put and be like, babe, I'm going to wear your jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not doing this. We're not doing the tight jeans. I just don't understand this era. I don't. Because growing up, it was either the skinny jeans I can't do.
I think what happened, too, like I said earlier, we got people who infiltrate the culture who are now the culture. So what you have is this stuff that's considered, quote, unquote, high fashion that really, I mean, back in the day, the fashion was different because some artists had that money. And if they did, you every so often would see them wear something Gucci, or you would see them wear Louis Vuitton. But that was in extreme cases. I mean, but as the money kind of came now, and there was more accessibility to high fashion, where it became, because the thing is, you got to think about it. Everything moves in stages. So as the money came, you know. Everything increased. Like back in the day, you had a Pathfinder, you had a Beamer 5 Series, you know, you had a Maxima, you know, you had a Bet, you had a, you know, that was considered like the car. You had a Mercedes, you was balling. Now, you know, now everybody got a Bentley truck, you know, everybody got a Bent, you know, a Bugatti, you know, it's like everybody's like,
you gotta drive that foreign.
They got a Don Perignon taste with a Budweiser budget. That's what they got.
Yeah,
Don Perignon taste with a Budweiser budget. Yeah,
nobody riding the Lex no more, T-Mac. Nobody riding the Lex. Jay-Z started rapping about that in 98, dog. Them dudes got foreigns now. We gotta catch up.
For real.
Jay ain't talk about that since Reasonable Doubt, man. We gotta go on to these foreign whips now.
And I mean, the thing is, back in the day, like when Jay, like when we look at even the art direction of photography, when we saw Jay do Volume 3, Hard Not Life, and he was posed up with that black Bentley, we were like,
man,
okay,
I wanted
Jay,
a Bentley for that one. Now.
look, and even though he's done his shit, and you know, Puffy was the first artist who I think, well, you had a few that had it before him. I think Russell had a Bentley way back in the day. But Puffy
and the Bentley
the
was
a
stapleman in hip hop. You was the man who had the Bentley.
Yeah, I mean
started, you know, I remember when Puff got that Sapphire Blue joint back in the day, and that was like, you know, it was like, then of course Cash Money came in. This was in 97. Of course Cash Money came in 97 and like had the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris and the Bentleys all in the videos. That was the bling bling era. So that's when you started seeing more money come in. So everybody was trying to outdo each other. Then you get Nas with the Hate Me Now video, wearing all the fur and the jewels, you know, and spitting out the Chris, you know, I mean, look, him and Jay were talking about the Cristal and the Dom P, and, you know, it was like, as the money came,
you
the
know
excess
why?
Came more.
You know why, though, right? You know why, right?
Why is that?
Because during that period when the West was running, nobody was stunting. Notice that from 91 to 96, you ain't see how nobody stunt with no jewelry at all. Everybody was grimy. Everybody came out there, no jewels. Soon as the Big Bad Wolf got locked up, everybody started putting their jewelry on.
And even
Run DMC was rocking it though. LL Cool.
Oh yeah.
But we gotta give one thing too. We gotta give Suge credit, and I haven't seen anybody dispute it. Suge was the one that started wearing, you know, his record label around his neck, you know, and he said,
"Nobody else is doing that before."
He's like, "Nobody else is doing that before me." And we gotta admit, Suge was right. Mm-hmm. Nobody was wearing the other record label around his neck before him.
But,
you know,
after the West went down, then, you know, Puffy came out there. They started putting on the Chris style, the bling bling era started coming. Cass was like, yo, we can shine now. We can put our jewelry back on.
Shit, now that mother put their jewelry on, they getting robbed and everything nowadays.
But it was
like, don't ever put your location on where you at and you got your bling on.
Well, the thing is with that situation is that always kind of happened on the low, but by the same token, it was a mix of people always got robbed, but by the same token, when you really, really like a Rolex back in the day, because Jay was rocking them, because Jay was really in the streets. Jay was rocking a Rolex back in 96 with Reasonable Doubt. You know, we really want to get factual. I got an old picture of Aunt Banks in one of my Source magazines from like 95, and I think he was rocking one. He's another legend from the Bay, of course. You know, Aunt Banks, you know, the thing was, is that when you had that kind of money, because artists were making good money back then, but you figure for a Roley on the low end, you're looking for a gold presidential on the low end, you're looking around maybe, and this is 90s money. People can check me in the comments for it when we upload this. Usually a gold presidential back in the 90s was running you about maybe 9,000-10,000, maybe 15, on the low end. And when you're talking about the bust downs, I remember when Raekwon got his custom-made Rolex with that Wu cutout in it, and that was like 75,000. You know, RZA had a bust down Rolex, and this was going back to like 97. But you got to think about when the Wu came in, and from 93 to 97, in 4 years, they became an iconic worldwide phenomenon. So the money was crazy back then. And you got
to nuts.
The 90s was the best era
to make money. That was the best era to ever make money, the 90s.
And the Wu was rocking heavy jewels back then. They were rocking heavy jewels.
You were broke in the 90s, man. You were a failure.
Yeah.
You were broke in the 90s. You failed, man.
For sure. That's real. Because, man.
Apartments were like $300 a month.
Yeah, for real. It was $500. I remember it here in Seaside. Our rent was like $700 when the military was here, and then when they left, everything skyrocketed. It's like, what? And then, but that's when all the business, everything just went downhill. Everything went downhill. It's not the same. The 90s was the best era to me.
Now, you know, switching gears for a minute. You know, now we're going on with California. Now, it seems like California's door has been highlighted as being a hotbed for a lot of things going on. Like, you see the recent tragedy with PNB Rock. You hear a lot of the robberies going on, home invasions, celebrities getting their careers broken into, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
What you think? Now, speaking for us out-of-towners out here, what do you see happen to California versus how it was? Or was it always like this?
It just never was broadcasted like it is now. You know, they kind of hid. You know how news can fabricate stuff? Some things can be brushed under. You know, social media, everything is advertised now on social media. So it's like, oh, did you see what happened? But the way that the world is coming to, and I'm going to blame a lot of this on the drugs that's being put out on the streets out here that's causing a lot of this ruckus with these young kids. And, you know, that plays a lot of part, huh?
Tell it.
What were you saying?
Because it wasn't like that coming up in terms of drug
culture. It
wasn't
like that. We didn't have that type of stuff. You know, there all of this homemade stuff that's being put out there for these kids and adults, too. They're getting a hold of it, and they're getting addicted to it. They're either dying from it or they just zombies. And they're doing some shit that we would have never done back in the day, you know? And it's causing them shootings at the schools. Like, it's been back to back. Something. Every day is something going on that this never happened back then. I mean, shootings at schools. I thought school was the safest place to take your kids. You know, now you got kids in middle school shooting. Then you got the teachers getting beat up by the kids. I mean, there's violence amongst the kids. You know, it's bad. It's a lot of gang violence. There's a lot of turf stuff going on, you know. It's a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred. And it's sad when you're supposed to come together and unify and be as one. You know, you're killing each other off when you should come together, you know?
I'm going to be that guy. Say it. What we saw with social media, which is not a bad thing, but the problem is you have a lot of people who are trying to live their life through social media. And what you're seeing now is this is just the short version. This is not the definitive. This is just T-Max giving his position on it. What we've seen now over the years is we have seen a breakdown of the Black family in terms of structure. You know, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but what we've seen now is there's a lot of situations where with social media, a lot of these kids are seeing a lot more, but they're not processing it in terms of the seriousness of what they're looking at. We're looking at a lot of undiagnosed mental issues with a lot of these kids in terms of depression, schizophrenia, just bullying, feeling ostracized. And you're seeing this anger, this feeling of loneliness, and then trying to fit in, and then you're not fitting in. We have people looking at social media feeling like if they're not this influencer, if they're not rich, to their failures in life. And they don't understand that not everybody on there is not who they say they are. We're looking, like you said, Dawn, at the drugs that have come in the game. Drugs, the most we were doing coming up, you know, the peers, what we were doing back in the day was smoking weed. That's the most we ever did.
Yeah.
We were never thinking about, I mean, cocaine was like, if you did that, you were just no. I mean, crack, hell no. Heroin, hell to the fuck no. I mean,
we didn't even know what pills were like that back in the day
when we were coming up over 30 years. We didn't know what pills were like that. In terms of these Percocets,
and cocaine,
you know,
now,
the Molly, we knew nothing about
that. The cocaine that they have out on the street is laced. They're not getting pure cocaine. It's all mixed with fentanyl and methamphetamine and all this other extra stuff. They're not. It's tweaking them out. Their brains is getting fried on this shit, and they doing shit out of the abnormal. You know, because there's no purity in it. You got all this other excessive homemade ass drugs mixed in with it, and they think that they getting that high from that one, but they're really they getting a high from all that other shit that's mixed in.
And
it's not pure.
And not admitting the
pure
shit
anymore.
And not admitting the shit. But when you know how that stuff is processed and cut, if you've been on the block and you know how it was in terms of how you had to get the most out of that brick you got, and you had to make it work to stretch it out. For all my hustlers out there, you know that hustler talk in terms of how it was to really move product and weight, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew people out there on the block that was heavy. I learned a lot of that from being around them in terms of talking to them. And when you, but see now, it's like, the way that it's moving in the streets now, everybody's trying to get the maximum profit for the minimum amount of processing. And like you said, that's where you're getting all this other stuff being put into it in terms of where the purity has been compromised, and you're getting a lot of this other stuff that's not that any drug is good, but when you add certain chemicals to it, it makes something that was already volatile nuclear. And you know, when you
and they will debate 13, you to death about it. They will say, "Nah, you mixed with this, it ain't got that in it." You don't even know. That's that they don't even know. I'm like, you spent $20 for whatever you got. You better know it's not the real deal. It's not the real deal. You're not gonna.
Yeah, they're not getting that real shit because. Ain't going over there to Malaysia and getting the real stuff like Frank Lucas had to go.
Exactly.
Golden Triangle.
They really think
you know that,
those, they playing with their nose with the real stuff, and it's really not. It's like you said, mixed chemicals, and they don't even know. Just because it's white, you know, they got that all that extra stuff going in, and it's making them crazy. They doing shit that they wouldn't have normally done.
But what they're seeing now in terms of the music, what's happening now is you're seeing a lot of artists who are glorifying drug use. I'm going to just stand on it and say that that's not something we had when we were growing up. We didn't have artists who are openly talking about doing pills or even lean. And we're not trying to judge when we say this, of course. What we're saying is, it was just different in terms of what was being broadcast in the music. And now, because you have so many artists, I'm not going to get into all the quote-unquote conspiracy talk in terms of who's involved in terms of putting what out, because I still think at the end of the day, if you really are into the culture, you know what's good music and what you're going to find instead of what's being fed to you. And I think that's part of the problem now. You're dealing with the radio stations that are corporate owned as opposed to back in the day were independently owned. You're dealing with DJs that are not breaking in new songs. They're getting stuff, a playlist from the company that's in bed with the label about you got to play the same fucking playlist 20 times a day, you know, so we're not hearing anything new. You know, and these kids are out here thinking these artists, this is all it is. I'm like, no, there's more than that. You know, I heard something online, I heard something, I read something one time, and it's absolutely true. The real hip hoppers don't listen to the radio. The real hip hoppers are on YouTube. They're reading the blogs. They're just online on the hip hop sites like XXL or Source and reading about the new artists. You know, they're not listening to the radio. They're going online to find who the new artists are that are dope. Or they're reading even in the magazines. They're reading the magazines. You know, shout out to Don Diva, As Is, XXL, Source, you know, Straight Stunt and Rest in Peace, DJ K Slay, because he did so much to get the name out there. That was my homie, good friend of mine, a godfather for the culture. And Slay, with his publication, would always put out new people in terms of giving them a shout. You know, if you were dope, he will put you in it. But, man, it's just so many people Slay put on. I miss that dude. I mean, I really miss talking to him on the phone. I really miss him. But now we don't have, how do I say this? As obnoxious as hell as he can be, I like what Funkmaster Flex is doing because I think he's trying to do his part to kind of get everybody back to the music when he's calling out a lot of these artists to drop new music. And we've had our opinion about Flex over the years. But if he's really genuine with it, I love what he's doing. And he's trying to get everybody out there, like, get back out there and show this new generation of hip-hop what the old school got.
Exactly. That's your job. I mean, y'all sitting there, y'all trying to swim in our lane. Like, we're supposed to be the interviewers and the journalists and the behind the camera. Y'all coming in on our papers. Get y'all, your musicians, get your asses in that booth.
Right.
Exactly. You know, and
how to say all these rappers in my lane, man? We trying to eat.
And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, people wanting to have other interests. But if you're a rapper, occasionally step out there back in the booth to show everybody you still got it like that. You know what I'm saying? But we understand it,
right,
though. We rib them a little bit, but we understand. Because rapping, you know, for not everybody, you know, we've seen LL and Queen Latifah have very successful rapping careers. But we've seen them transition to that second act being actors. We've seen Ice Cube become a businessman, you know. We've seen to see so many transitions. We've seen Snoop Dogg. Uncle Snoop is, like, just gone to, like, another level of celebrity in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And now owns Death Row Records. I mean, who would have ever thunk it, you know, but still doing commercials, still putting people on, you know, and still, you know, interacting with people in the hood, you know. So it's, but you want to still do stuff here. But Snoop is still doing music, and he's putting out great music.
A lot of these producers are looking at these artists, and they know their background. They see what they do. The streets talk, the tabloids talk, everything talks. They're looking for an asset, not a liability. You know, and they're not a liability because they conduct themselves with professionalism. You know, they have that thug life in them and that gangsta in them and so forth and like that. But business, they're business minded. They're not going to jail. They're not getting arrested. They're not running from the police. That's a liability. Who wants that on their label? And they got to bail them out every other week.
I mean, we look at the situation that happened. Yeah, I mean, we look at the situation halfway Young Thug. I mean, he had a successful career, and now realistically, Thug is looking at spending the rest of his life possibly behind bars.
Yeah,
you know,
look at
Casanova with his situation, and he pled out last month. You know, and Casanova was doing good, but then, you know, he couldn't lead the street life alone, and Cass was already a conviction. And I preface this saying, we're not trying to down anybody as journalists. We just speak in terms of situations that are out there. Casanova did 8 years for armed robbery before he got into the rap game. 8 years. Cass was really with the shit in the street. But he got what very few people get, a second chance. And a successful second chance, which is why it's so tragic to see the situation he's in now. Because it's like, dude, you were on Roc Nation.
Right.
You know,
great.
You were with Fab. You were with Jay in terms of Jay overlooking all of this. And it's like, and then you get caught up in this situation. I mean, being involved.
Your meal ticket is like, damn. They grasp onto success, and then it gets taken from them from making the most stupidest mistake. You know, that's like the football players. You know, you got a meal ticket, and then you fuck off, and then that gets taken away. You know, a snap of a finger.
And you got to understand, and people got to understand, it's okay to walk away from certain things because it's called evolution, it's called growth. Once you've grown into a better position, you get away from the things that you were attached to because you cut those ties that ultimately could hang you. You grow into something that will fertilize your existence. You don't want something that's going to be that DDT that destroys your career. You know,
about
flourishing and not flailing. And I think that's the biggest thing artists have to understand. You are no less real for wanting a better life for you and your family. These artificial metrics of authenticity in the street are skewer, because the reality is this. You have a lot of dead motherfuckers trying to prove a point about being real, and nobody in prison wants to be there.
Right.
But you got people who ended up in both places because they were trying to prove a point about how real they were. And the reality is, at the end of the day, if you don't know how to live your life for you and not the validation of other people, because at the end of the day, you got to pay your bills for you. You got to live your life for you. You take care of yours.
Yeah.
Don't let somebody else tell you how you need to do something. You know,
right.
That's just what it is.
They live to impress other people. They don't live for themselves. They live for others and what people think of them and how they value them and stuff and stuff. And they forget, you know, the importance of what they're in it for. You know, it was there in the beginning, but once they end that life, that goes out the window. Because now you're surrounded by a bunch of, I curse a lot, but a bunch of bitches. And then you're surrounded amongst all your friends. And then you're in the street life. And then you're doing things to impress them, you know, instead of impressing the ones that you intentionally went in for. You know?
And then trying to impress the people that got less than you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who want to be in the position you're in and will, you know, I'll tell anybody, and this is some shit that motherfuckers really need to pay attention to. What I just said about you're trying to impress people who have less than you. Remember
this.
Yeah. Japanese proverb, an assassin rarely comes from a distance. Let that linger.
Mm. Mm.
That's the game for your ass right there. But, you know, we got to all probably wrap this up shortly. Absolutely, absolutely. I was going to say this, you know, before we wrap this up shortly, because, you know, we pressed on time for a little bit, but we want to thank you once again for the bill. We had a great time building with you. You bring great ecstatic energy. You bring that Bay Area flavor, and you a fellow Raiderette. We might have to get a drink
all
on this season, so fair. We all need to get a damn drink on this season, because this is not...
Oh,
they ain't really going
for real.
To swing.
I got my jersey.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on. They need to move us back to Oakland or something.
Yeah. It's the Cali business. That's what it is. Raiders all day for me. It'll never switch. I don't care what anybody say. Although Carr could do a better job, sometimes I be feeling like, God, they need to get rid of him. But... I'm just going to hold my ground.
Yeah.
I don't think we should have hired Josh McDaniels. I'm going to just say it. I don't think we just, I don't know.
I ain't never seen it like this before. I mean, it seemed like, you know what gives me with the Raiders is that we seem to get players as soon as they wash. Like,
yeah.
We went ahead,
we got Devontae Adams, and he ain't washed, so we still may have a chance.
Remember when we grabbed...
Yeah.
But we grabbed Jerry Rice and he had expired braids and shit.
Jerry Rice, what? That's old. Jerry Rice.
Well, we know we was done then. We was like, oh man, he ain't even got the flavor no more. His braids have died out. You know we gonna be in for a long year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But we ain't gonna count us out yet. Yeah, we ain't gonna count us out yet. We still got a full season on deck. So hopefully
we
can turn it around. And if we don't, you can catch all three of us at the game with our bags over our face.
For real. Oh my God.
That's
like,
my message
to Ray. Right there. Oh my God!
Slide the paper bag on your face.
The walk of shame.
Exactly.
Oh shit!
Because I'm catching it. Yeah, because it's been pretty bad so far. Because even my NF squad, my NFC squad, my hometown team, the Panthers, we ain't hitting no shit either. So I'm catching it on both ways.
Yeah, Baker. Yeah. I don't know.
Y'all gonna make me drink a whole Hennessy fifth, and I ain't drinking years. Yeah. But
oh my God.
Yeah, just like I said though, I might have to, if we lose this one, hey, I might have to drink a whole fifth. I might go on live and just do it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take one to the head
for the culture.
Me too.
But definitely though, we definitely enjoyed the build though. Tell us what people can find you and your social media handles and all that jazz.
Shit, all they got to do is just type in Don the Duchess, DawnDaDutchess, and that'll just take you to wherever you want to go on Google. It'll just find me. It'll find me. Or Don Mitchell, because that's what most of my name is under for the credits on the shows that I do and the movies. So, yeah, that's how they'll be able to find me. But under Instagram, it's original_DonTheDutchess. Yeah.
There you have it. There you have it. Yep. So definitely. We're going to be looking forward to that streaming site so we can check your moves, all the moves that you're making out there, and your debut coming in next year on the small screen.
Yeah. Yep, I was supposed to be on the bigger screen before the pandemic hit, so I was supposed to do a whole show where I was going to be the madam in the house, and I was going to control a whole bunch of women, and that went left. I don't know if they're going to come. Yeah, I was supposed to go to fucking Brazil and film.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah, that was a big one, too. I was supposed to be in the house with, like, 15 girls that were getting surgeries done. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of confrontation because they were all getting cosmetic surgery, either the boobs, butt, lips, doesn't matter. They was getting it done, and it's going to be drama between all of them. So it was like me being the mother figure in there, but causing the, you know, being kind of the instigator of shit so shit could pop off between them.
Oh God.
So yeah, it was gonna be good, and then pandemic hit, and then shit, I don't know. Hopefully it'll swing back around when everything lifts fully, and then we can get back on track.
Most definitely. And to let you know that, you know, we the Off the Cuff Radio team is behind you 110%. Anytime you want to come back, or anytime if Drew Dan want to make an appearance, make a surprise pop-up, he's welcome as well. So he's just going to keep pushing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. It was nice talking with y'all. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the time.
Always.
Yes. Nothing but love.
Always.
Cali love. You know that West Coast, that Cali love.
There you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, we about to be up out of here. Catch y'all next week. Same time, same bat channel. Holla.
Yep.
Ah.